The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally once and for all find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
I'll talk about it.
26 miles.
26.2.
That is so long. Like, even when I was in shape, 20 years ago, I was in decent shape. I could go out and run 5 miles.
I don't. The exercise that has no adventure in it.
Yeah.
Like, hiking is like, because you're in a new light, but just running.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't get it at all.
You know what I don't? When people put the 13.1 bumper stickers on their car, like, fuck you. You don't get to just do half of a real thing and then pretend that that's also a real thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I did a half marathon. No, you didn't finish a marathon.
Yeah, no one brags about their associate's degree.
Yeah, exactly. I know, I was doing jokes about it, like, here's a half-baked cake and a kid we tried to abort but made it through. There's all the stuff we didn't finish, but it's a real thing to us now.
I mean, hats off to people that can do it. 26.2. Like, and how long
no
does that take?
No hats off to 13.1.
How long does that take? What, the average person runs, what, 10 miles an hour? Six?
How long does it take? Well, I walk.
You can walk a mile in 20 minutes. So that's... Oh, man, my head's not clear to do the math. But
if you're going
to
walk a marathon,
3 miles
you're
an
doing
hour.
3 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So you need to do eight and a half hours.
That's if you walk.
We're not good at math either.
Yeah.
Can't run, can't do math. The fuck good am I in this world? Are you physically in shape? No. What about your brain? Still a bag of shit. What do you need me for?
What can I do for you?
Mike Olson, this old comic from Chicago, Mike Olson, was one of those guys that, like, I think you're a hilarious poet. Like, I think you've transcended comedy into the way you've, like, you like the economy of words. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate comedians that understand the economy of words.
Absolutely.
I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
I yammer all
over. Me neither.
But he's just like, I just feel like, you know, I don't know what the context was. Something about, like, I want to be an artist. And whoever's in charge of the universe just goes, we need guys who can fucking shovel. like, that's all they need. I want to be a writer. We need guys who can fucking shovel. That's the perfect summation.
Yeah.
Of, yeah, can you do that or can you do this? We don't need any of the other stuff. And also, I was on the Reddit, and I'm sorry about clearing my throat, everyone.
Oh, is people apparently bitching at you about that again?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I could see how it's annoying in the ear.
I don't even notice it.
Well, that's because, I mean, we're just sitting here.
Yeah.
You wouldn't notice if it's somebody at the bar, but I guess if it's just the audio, you don't get to feast your eyes on the all beef patties sitting at the table here.
Do I still smack? I used to.
Nobody said anything about that. Still kissing ghosts? Old Dave kissing ghosts over there.
Yeah. Gonna have to start kissing ghosts.
Let me see. Well, I said, I apologized. I was got drunk and I was online. Really mouthing off this weekend.
Really enjoyed your drunken St. Paddy's Day Twitter game of Dropkick Murphy songs. So funny, dude.
It's pretty low-hanging fruit.
Sourdough heart.
Yeah. I mean, it's and I honestly don't dislike them as a band, mm-hmm. but it's like a movie franchise that went on too long. Like,
yeah.
I get it, guys. And I'm sure, you know what? Who knows what's going on with them mentally? Maybe they're at a point like, oh, this is what people expect. Talking about this, about comics. We're like, oh, this is what people expect. This is how we make a living. We can't just change it up. You know, like, you run a burger restaurant. Like, no, sorry. I'm French food now.
Yeah.
No, you need to make a living.
Yeah.
People want them burgers.
Yeah, give them what
people
they want.
People want woodly-deedly-deedly-doo, diddly-deedly-deedly-doo, hoy, and then just a bunch of fake fucking Irish shit.
Are all their songs, like, Irish based?
Yes.
Like,
yes. Irish or Boston based.
Okay. Interesting.
Or whichever.
It's an interesting niche.
That Venn diagram falls like over.
I get that kind of being your foundation. And then, like.
Yeah, when I first heard them, I'm like, this is good. I like this music. But, like, any punk rock band, how many times can you make the same song? Which is, it's always. But also, I guess maybe you're just banking on the. Old fans still. I don't know, man. I give them a bunch of shit. They're fine.
I wanted to go see them actually. They were in town, maybe on St. Paddy's Day or the day before.
I feel like they're franchised out like Gallagher too. I think they're in like 12 different cities on St. Patrick's Day.
I don't dislike them, but I wouldn't go just see them. But I'm a huge fan of the dude that's on tour with them right now, opening. This guy named Scott H. Byram. He's a one man band. Just a crazy dude from Austin, Texas. Just like,
does he have a bass drum on his back?
He does. I don't know if he does. No, I think he has a bass drum that he kicks, and then he plays guitar and does some. Maybe has like another hi-hat with a tambourine on it. But
has a harmonica hanging from a string in front of his face.
Almost like I don't know how to describe it.
I just want somebody with like a child's mobile on a hat with different instruments dangling from it, and whichever one whirls in front of their face. Like, I guess it's clarinet now, guys.
But yeah, Scott H. Byram, I don't know how to describe it, but like a lot of country and a little metal.
A lot of country, a little bit of metal.
Yeah, rock and roll, metal, country. I don't know, just good truck driving music.
Yeah.
So he was opening, and I was like, yeah, I need to go see him, but I didn't want to pay the full freight charge of the Dropkick Murphys ticket price.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a good show, good rollicking show.
What'd you get into on St. Paddy's?
Rachel and I, we just walked down the street to the old Franklin & Co. Good salad bar.
Franklin & Company?
Yeah.
Is that down here by UCB?
Just a restaurant, a little bar.
Huh.
They do a lot of the beers and stuff and whiskeys. And just good food. Not a big complicated menu, but everything they make is good. I'm like, I want corned beef. I'm a failed vegetarian, but I'm like, I need some corned beef. They made like corned beef sliders. I thought it was kind of a cop out. I thought I was getting like a whole corned beef sandwich.
Hmm.
But I still got that flavor. I drank Guinness. I'm like, I'm going to do the full thing.
Yeah. Why not?
I'm going to drink some Jameson. I'm going to drink Guinness. I'm going to have corned beef. Rachel went off to a gig. I sat there for a couple more beers. And then the revelers started coming in. I'm like, oh, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It wasn't bad. But also, that's not like a party bar.
Yeah.
So I was kind of – I made the comment before about I'd rather be caught outside during the purge than be in a bar in St. Patrick's Day.
That was last year. Where were you last year?
I was in Jersey. I was doing the Stress Factory in Jersey, which I thought was going to suck. I had a blast. Was very surprised at how much fun that show was.
Huh.
In New Brunswick, New Jersey. But yeah, so walked down there and just came back to the house and kept drinking. And that was it. That wasn't an exceptional St. Patrick's Day. What'd you do?
I made corned beef and cabbage. Never made it before. Felt weird to boil meat.
The process, I mean, I've never made it, but I mean, my grandmother used to make it all the time. My Italian grandmother would make it for my Irish grandfather. And it's, yeah, boiling meat's an odd thing. It's like what you do for your pets. When you boil chicken if you got a sick dog or something.
Yeah. Yeah, as a fan of the culinary arts, it felt disgusting. It felt like I was doing just something completely the wrong way to just take a nice brisket and fucking boil it. But, you know, you throw you throw the spice pack in there.
Did you finger blast some salt into it?
I did. Got the peppercorns, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And turned out great. Made some cabbage, made some just boiled red potatoes with some garlic and butter, and turned out pretty good.
It's the once-a-year meal. I love it. Mm-hmm. We almost went to Tam O'Shanter. It was packed over there.
But I like Tam O'Shanter's. Yeah. I went to buy the brisket. I had to go to two stores. The first store, I tell you what grocery store sucks is Fawn's. Fawn's sucks. They never have anything.
I mean, it's which one, though?
I go to the one on San Fernando and Los Feliz over there, kind of near Atwater.
No, I know where you're at, yeah.
And first of all, every time you walk in the door, every time, there's no baskets. The baskets, not the buggies, but the baskets, they're all by the exit.
The buggies.
And every time I go over and I grab a whole grip of them and I walk it over, and all the employees look at me funny.
This guy wants a job.
And I'm like, and then I set them down right in front of the entrance, like, you know.
Dave's out there gathering the carts up for free again.
Pisses me off. But I went and I asked the meat, and don't get me started on their meat department. And
this guy comes in there to shit. But he's also gathering up the carts, so we're not going to say anything. He's kind of a real tit-for-tat fella. He really earns his keep.
By the way, they have a shitter code. They have a combination code, so if anybody needs that, let me know. That's one of my hot spots. But I asked the dude at the meat counter.
Change the goddamn code?
I said, hey, man, you guys got any corned beef or brisket or anything? And he goes, yeah, not – what did he say? He said something like, not much.
Yeah.
And I go – well, do you have any? And he goes, no. And I was like, so none. So none. You meant to say none, not much. He said, I said, do you have any? Not much.
How old was this guy? I mean,
30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was 30.
You're talking a teenager in customer service. I was in customer service. Yeah. I didn't know shit.
No, he was like in the butcher department. He had the white coat on and everything.
Just
I was like, hey, man, I couldn't find this. And he was loading up some other stuff. And I go, hey, by the way, you guys got any corned beef or brisket that I can corn? And he goes, not much. I was like, well, we need one. So, no, we don't have any. Oh, okay. Thanks for communicating.
Okay. Well, just had to really make it elusive.
Yeah.
Really, you're really desperate for conversation.
Yeah, I guess
so. I just wanted to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm getting the mind of this guy that shits in here and collects our baskets. Corn beef. Can't corn dogs. Not the same at all.
No, not at all. I don't know why they call it corn beef. There's no corn involved.
Corned. The process is corning.
Is that what you
and
call
you know,
it?
Because I made a joke on Twitter, if we're talking about Twitter. I was like, corn, you can corn to beef. Corn to beef. You can't corn a dog, but you can have a corn dog. And I was just making a joke about it. Then somebody explained what corning is. It's the salt and the spice packet.
It's a dumb way. That's a dumb name, though.
Yeah, but I guess, I don't know if it has something to do with, because essentially, there's another thing, too. Like, what's the difference between pastrami and corned beef? It's the same cut of meat, right?
Yeah.
And I found out somebody, well, I don't know if it's true, but somebody said it, and it makes sense. That Irish immigrants found when they moved here, settled in a lot of Jewish neighborhoods, so they would get the meat from the Jewish delis, butchers, and then do it that way. So that's why that cut of meat became an Irish staple. I think maybe it's more of an American thing.
I guess. Yeah, somebody hollered at me on Twitter. They said when I was talking about the corned beef, and they're like, we smoked our corned beef and it was great. And then somebody else was like, yeah, you just invented pastrami.
But is it the same seasonings though?
I believe so.
Rachel's brother, I got to get you. Rachel's brother, he's got an Instagram called I'm Here for the Barbecue.
Huh.
And he did a smoked corned beef.
Okay.
Which I guess is, if it's essentially, either way, you're making something I'm going to like.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. I mean, it looked good.
It's good.
You got to.
Corned beef is good. It's how I feel about turkey. Like, I don't know why we just do it once a year. I could eat corned beef once a week.
You can go to Renaissance Fair, eat a big old turkey leg all summer long.
Mm-hmm.
I never did the big turkey leg. I'm like, I don't need all that.
Yeah, turkey leg.
Also, you're out, you're walking around. Like, you don't get it at a restaurant.
Yeah.
You get it for, like, walking around in the summer. I don't want just that.
And turkey legs have these weird tendons in them that look like zip ties. Like these 12-inch little white plasticky, looks like a zip tie. And there's about four or five of them that come up from the bottom.
Stop making a hand motion. Grossing me out.
So you got to eat around that shit.
Yeah, granted, I've also never been to a Renaissance Fair.
I'm
doing new things.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go this year.
And made the corned beef the other day, and then last night got crazy with the pickled deviled eggs, which... I hope you're going to
enjoy. Brought some here. I didn't try them yet.
Got you about a whole dozen. Or no, about two dozen once you cut them in half.
Because you made 12?
Yeah.
Well, so I appreciate that.
You had 24 halves in there.
Purple.
That might be too many.
Buddies.
Might be too many for y'all, but.
No. Yeah. I can eat deviled eggs like a drug mule swallowing bags of heroin. Like, I could just slide those down my throat. I love them.
Yeah, they're good. I pickled them in beet juice, pickled beet juice.
Good purple ones.
Yeah, they're very purple.
Looking ones.
And then I just kind of did a freestyle on the yolks. I mashed up the yolks. I did some sriracha.
Freestyled on that yolk.
Sriracha, Cajun seasoning.
Yolk stuff.
Garlic powder. Oh, and then I took spicy pickles and diced them up real fine. So dog, the
we might have to pause this episode just so I can get
the crunch is spicy pickles. So yeah, man, get into it.
I might have to break so I can get in there.
What else going on, man?
Man, well, I did that, and then got Italian food last night. Nothing special. Just been out. Just been living. While back in town. We're recording on a regular schedule. This is an actual recording.
Yeah.
The day before it will be released.
Yeah. Look at us.
I guess I'm supposed to say that my Netflix half hour will be out, and that's all I will say about that.
You want another drink?
Yeah, bring me another beer. Looks like we're drinking today. And I still have mostly a full one, but Dave, since you're up and I'm filling the void, let me continue on by saying
so
thanks. Oh, there you are.
Netflix special comes out today.
It's fucking whatever.
Why are you so bummed about it?
It's not good.
I'm sure it's not.
I don't
not.
Like it. It's fine. You know what it is? It's fine.
Yeah.
And I've said it before. If something's fine, it's just as good as forgotten. And you know what? I have my complaints about Netflix, but also I was not prepared. I should have been on the road figuring out how to whittle down the hour that was ready to go into a functional 30 minutes. And I wasn't. That was, I got a 5 weeks notice that I'd be taping it, and it was the particular 5 weeks where I was like, oh, I've been on the road a bunch. I'm going to actually take trips. And so for those 5 weeks, I wasn't on the road. I mean, I practiced it around town and everything. We did those shows.
Yeah.
Whatever. I've said my piece. Netflix, I guess, was not happy with the one tweet I put out promoting it.
What'd you say?
Nothing. They fucked up the one ad, the 1 minute video to promote it. Where, okay, I have a joke about, like, one of the punchlines, like, I'd be a terrible Klan member because I'm a very sloppy eater. Now, the 1 minute video is with not closed captioning, but has words on it because, you know, people are looking at something on their phone. They're not using the volume on it. They spelled Klan, C-L-A-N. You got 1 minute of video, just 1 minute to make sure this is how you're going to get people to watch these half hours. And you couldn't even get that joke right. Now, I know I'm being sensitive, but yeah, it's my career. I get to be sensitive about it. I've said enough. Watch it. There's a lot of I am in good company. So even if you don't enjoy mine, Aparna and Churla, right? A lot of comics a week, Aparna and Churla, Rachel Feinstein, Joe List, a lot of funny people on there. So please enjoy the series. And that's that.
Well, I'm sure it's great, buddy. You're always too hard on yourself.
Thanks. You gotta be.
Yeah.
You gotta be though. Nobody's. There's no comedy boss. There's nobody out there saying, "Hey, you better work harder." It's just like, no, somebody's already working harder than you, and so if you work a little less, they pass you up. We've had this discussion. It's one part talent, and it's one part hustle. And hustle can mean schmoozing and who do you know, but hustle can mean are you out there busting your ass every night doing every show you can do. That's part of it too. And the people that have the willingness to do that but maybe not the talent will get more out of show business than somebody who just has talent but doesn't do fuck all about it. And I think that's probably the case for any pursuit in life. So, great, you're good at something. Now work even harder to make sure you get to do that for a living.
Yeah. That's a good point.
What am I, fucking Tony Robbins? Well, I mean, taking life advice from me? You know, shit, we're drinking beer in the afternoon. I thought today was Friday. I went on a bike ride this morning. My buddy Kyle, shout out to my buddy Kyle, my bike ride buddy. And we're just going up the hill. We're walking because we're out of shape. We can't ride up the hill. We just go down. And I'm just talking. I'm like, what is today, Friday? He's like, it's Monday. I was like, oh, all right. I don't know.
That's the great thing about being in comedy. That is not knowing what day it is.
There is a little like you want to know true freedom from the man? I don't even know what fucking day it is.
I love that. I love that.
That's true freedom.
Yeah.
What, man? Time's just a construct. Time's a man-made construct.
I never get the Sunday night blues anymore. I used to get the Sunday night blues all the time.
That on top of the fact, you know what did make me happy is there's been a time change, that it's lighter later, and that makes me happy.
Yeah.
That I would get. Like, I hate that. I'll get that. the autumn equinox, where all of a sudden just dark out. You're like, I just woke up.
Yeah.
Which that's not my fault because I'm not a morning person. But yeah, the Sunday night, like, I got to go to school or I got to go to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I understand that.
I used to have a job where I'd have to wake up at 4:30 a.m. And I couldn't even – it's 7 p.m. the night before. I'm already like, ugh, the clock's ticking.
Yeah.
Like getting up that early, especially like on a Monday, like Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, sucked. You couldn't enjoy them. Not anymore, buddy.
No way.
I don't know what day it is.
Not a clue. Anyway, what about – oh, it's the Boogie Monster.
Oh, it's the Boogie Monster. That's us.
Kyle and Dave.
Yeah.
Here we are,
mm-hmm.
pickling our eggs. I'll pickle your eggs, lady. Well, all right. We're going to talk to our thing. Talk to our thing. Talk about our thing. Well, I want to talk about this guy who got a weird voicemail.
Yeah, let me know. I don't know the whole story there. I know a little bit.
All right, this guy got a goofy voicemail and kind of like a Siri digital voice.
This just happened this week, correct?
Yeah. It was like a digital – it was just a series of military code or what do they say?
Where phonetic alphabet.
Phonetic, yeah. Alpha, beta. Can you remember it right now?
Yeah.
You know it.
Alpha, beta, Charlie, Delta, Echo. First of all, I got to remember the real alphabet. Francis, what comes after E?
Francis, Garibaldi.
Frank.
Hardy's.
Frank George. I don't know. I used to know it.
Indespicable.
Yeah. Elemental P.
Jefferson. Yeah. It's fun to try and make him up, though. So this guy gets a voicemail, and it's just saying all this, you know, saying just, Alpha, Charlie, all this stuff. And it turns out to be what it's actually saying, it was spelling out, and what it spelled out is, danger, SOS. It is dire for you to evacuate. Be cautious. They are not human. SOS. Danger, SOS. And then it gives some coordinates. Now, it's by a Twitter account, at Straight Away. But that Twitter account doesn't exist anymore. This was all going down on the 14th to the 15th. So then he says that he saw somebody taking photos outside his house a few days before receiving the message. I'm on Nextdoor app, and they say that happens around here a lot. But people say it could be Zillow or real estate people. Mm-hmm. So we can, I mean, just to discredit things as we go. So yeah, he got that, but then he got coordinates. Now the coordinates. People are saying that the coordinates that were given, if you're curious, the coordinates were 0429-3396-4230. I don't know how to look that shit up. But somebody else is noticing that the message starts with an S, mm-hmm. right before danger, SOS, meaning that it's a recording on a continuous loop.
Okay.
So it's just somebody called it, and it's just a loop of this message.
Uh-huh.
And people are saying that the coordinates correspond with the area of the Malaysian plane crash, which I just heard a theory about what could have happened there.
Really?
Is that if they lost cabin pressure or something and just ascended, because they did find pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
And something about like that. Of course, but it's like the pilots are like everybody losing consciousness. Like air pressure goes down, nothing's working, and everybody loses consciousness, and then the plane ascends and then just crashes. Well, that was one theory. It was something else. But so they're saying this corresponds with this. They said maybe you're hearing the black. This is somebody. This is a JVSTIN Fox. So Justin, but with a V instead of a U on Twitter, is thinking that what if you're hearing the black box recording? Black box records the last interactions with a plane. That's why it's an SOS, save our ship. It was trying to warn us. That's what somebody thinks. That's just the theory that's been put online. But I thought the Black Box also just records the what happens in the plane, not the audio.
Mm-hmm. Why don't they make the whole plane out of the Black Box?
Oh, and this is still Justin Fox saying the theory of the Black Box records an audio message. It also records flight information as well, which is why it gives coordinates. This is a... I find this stuff
who is the
very
dude?
Curious.
Do we know anything about the dude?
No, his Twitter account went away.
Where he's from? Is he American?
Justin Fox is the guy who's one's laying all this stuff around.
Huh.
He says that it's also happening after two large solar flares were just released, causing a soon-to-be solar storm.
Hmm.
And solar flares cause electromagnetic pulses in our atmosphere. This is all information from this Justin Fox, V instead of a U in Justin, on Twitter. I find it all. I haven't super researched, but this is a good new creepy story.
Yeah.
Maybe it was aliens that took out the plane. Ooh. Maybe it's this message going out. What do aliens want with a Malaysian airliner? I don't know.
That's interesting, man.
I don't know, man. This was a... What about the guy that messaged him to... somebody messaged him to delete his what he said.
Oh, really?
Okay, well, now I'm just looking at... this is on someecards.com. This is where I'm getting the accounts. Again, elaborate hoaxes online. Who knows how many people can be involved, but this is a pretty good story if you like that kind of stuff. Creepy messages. It's got creepy messages. It's got coordinates of an airplane. It's saying it's not human. It's good stuff. It's still unfolding. And so check it out. I don't have theories. I don't know. I listen to the message. Those robot voices are so haunting.
Yeah.
When you're getting a message of danger that sends such a monotonous calm.
You're going to die.
Yeah. S-O-S.
So well.
What would S? That's a... Sierra.
Shit on a shingle.
Sierra Ocelot.
Ocean.
That's an easier one.
I think it's ocean. Yeah, I can't remember. I used to know it really well. Alpha, Beta, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot, George. What was H? Helio?
Hellman's.
Harold?
I only know brand names. That'd be terrible in the military. Reebok, Albertsons, Vlasic, Chevrolet. I don't know if I'd be worthless.
Oh, man.
Among every other reason I'd be worthless in the military, I'd fuck up the alphabet.
Well.
That's got to be a sketch done somewhere. You know what the first letter of what I'm saying is. Beelzebub. Use the right words. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
that's a thing that's going on this week. Currently in the news. Look it up. It's creepy.
Well, I love a good mystery. So let's segue into today's topic. And this is a... It's been a topic I've been looking into for a long time, and I've been doing some field research on it as well. Did some last week, and I'll explain that. We've referenced it a few times. Missing 411.
You mean you went camping?
I went camping. I go camping, seriously, with the intent of come fucking get me. I just sit
out. What don't you do with that intent? Everything you do in life is come fucking get me.
Seriously.
You just sit in your van at night waiting for people to fuck with you.
I just sat out in the woods in a lawn chair, cracked my knuckles. I had my machete to my right and my baseball bat to my left.
Well, maybe that's why nobody's coming
and
to get
I
you.
Said, fucking bring it on, 411.
Maybe Bigfoot's like, man, I want to talk to that guy, but he looks like he's got a real chip on his shoulder.
No, I want to...
this guy with his weapons at all sides.
I've said this before. I would gladly give my life for the split second of certainty, of knowledge, of knowing, like, oh, shit, Bigfoot's about to kill me, or, oh, shit, I'm going up into a UFO. I gladly sacrifice my life just for that one second of like,
But if you believe in nothing after the afterlife, then you get no joy from it.
Oh, you mean I wouldn't be able to enjoy it once I'm dead?
Yeah, for a half second you'd be like, wait, it's real, dead.
Eh, it'd be worth
it. I'd want to know.
But no, I went camping last week. I started doing a little research on this stuff. And
David Politis.
David Politis,
the author of this series.
Missing 401's the name of the books. He did about, I think he's done about six or seven at this point.
Lots of missing people.
I've got a couple of them. And yeah, dude, it's interesting. All right, this dude used to be a cop. He was a cop for 20 years. Then he got into, he started doing some cryptozoology research. Initially got into it trying to prove the existence of Bigfoot. And with some of his studies on that, he started researching all these old case files of missing people, thinking that you know, maybe these missing people are missing due to Bigfoot or what have you, and just went from there. And basically, the Missing 401 books are about people who have gone missing in state and national parks, primarily national parks. And holy shit.
But we've talked about this too. Like, if you wanted to be a serial killer, I guess that's the issue with serial killers is they kind of want to be caught. Because that seems like just go to the woods. Boom. Look, oh, look who's camping by themselves. Oh, look, there's the one person that doesn't have a machete and a baseball bat next to him in a lawn chair. Let's kill that person.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get to that in a minute as far as like what the theories of what this could be. Now, there's literally thousands of cases. I think he goes all the way back to about the 50s. That hundreds and thousands of cases involving missing people in national parks. Now, a lot of those can be attributed to some people just got plain old lost. Some people may have got eaten by a mountain lion or a bear. Some are suicide. But he's narrowed it down. He took all these cases, all these case files, researched them, and he narrowed it down. He eliminated all the ones where the victims may have had some sort of mental illness or just where there's suspects involved, maybe a serial killer. So he's got this huge stack of files where none of that stuff – there's no suspects. There's no history of mental illness, no involuntary disappearance. So here are some common factors, some common denominators that he's come up with. Also, no evidence of animal attacks or human predation.
Human predation!
So he's got hundreds of these cases where all – they qualify for that. No scent detected by on-scene tracking dogs. They found missing clothing and or shoes. Here's a weird one. A lot of the people who have been found, a lot of these people have been found alive. A lot of people have been found dead. A lot of people have not been found at all. But the people who have been found alive or dead, a lot of them were found in fields of boulders, just boulder fields. You know, you go up into the mountains. It's amazing how much just – how many rocks are just kind of hanging out. Berries were involved in a lot of these, a lot of near berry patches and stuff like that. Many victims that were found alive were found near bodies of water, whether it be a creek or a lake or something of that nature. You know, bodies of water. What? A lot of these people vanished after 4 p.m. If found, many of them were found unconscious or semi-conscious. A lot of the found victims, the people who they found alive have no memory of how they disappeared. Many were found with a low-grade fever. Many were found in the area that has already been searched several times. Now, this is kind of a creepy thing.
Because I was going to say these other ones like, oh, they've been found by berries and rocks and water. You mean a national park?
Well, there's still a lot of terrain out there that doesn't involve any of those. You know, just in the middle of the woods, there may not be water.
Where you were camping, were the rocks...
Yeah.
Were there plants?
Yeah.
Some of those plants have berries?
Probably. I'm just saying. Yeah, but still. And
yeah, but still.
This is the thing. He's found a very common denominator. Some of the victims that were found, whether they be dead or alive, were found in areas that were searched time and time and time and time again. He said there's hundreds of cases where they'll search this area. Like, and we're talking not just one or two dudes out looking for these people, like a team of searchers. And people are like, oh, we searched this particular area where this body is now laying. We've all searched this 10 times. This is interesting, too. Many of the victims that have been found, either dead or alive, fall on opposite ends of the intellectual spectrum. A lot of the victims they found are like autistic or have some sort of mental disability. And then others are incredibly intelligent. Not a lot of just common folks.
How do you know that?
Well, because they
get my IQ test afterwards.
Well, it's just a lot of times either the friends or family or whatever, like, yeah, that's my boy, he was autistic, or that's my uncle, he was a fucking Mensa member.
It just sounds like a weird piece of data to collect.
No, I mean, if you think about it, like, okay.
I'm sorry. Listen, I'm real sorry that your son died. Was he a retard? Like, I got what? Well, I don't understand this. Like, this willy nilly. What was his favorite color? Is he left handed or right handed? Like, what?
I mean, that could, that could come into play as far as you don't think. I don't know. You find somebody who's been lost out in the woods. You want to know if they are. You know, if they're mentally challenged, that could attribute to their disappearance. Yeah. And then also, like, dude, if you're so smart, how come you got lost? So I don't know. Maybe
smart doesn't mean you know how to survive in the woods.
True, but maybe super smart people and not so smart people probably spend a lot of time daydreaming, being preoccupied.
Okay. Maybe that makes sense.
Not watching what they're doing.
Wandering off, falling off a trail.
Yeah.
But don't they always find their clothes like neatly folded or something?
Sometimes. A lot of times, a lot of the bodies they find, it's weird because I'm speaking in the sense that a lot of the, like I said, I think it's, I don't know what the percentages are, but a lot of people just never found whatsoever. A lot of people are found dead. A lot of people are found alive. But in many cases, regardless of those factors, found without shoes.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Huh. Yeah, I don't. Okay, I got no reason. I got nothing on that one.
A lot of toddlers go missing out in the woods. And this is interesting. And like I said, there's thousands of cases. So I'm not going
to. Toddlers, I'm going to write off.
Well.
Kids run away. Look at hillbilly parents out there.
Listen to this, though. All right. Yes, toddlers do wander off.
But real smart toddlers.
What about these retarded kids?
Little Doogie Howser kids running off.
No, they find a lot of these toddlers they have found. There's a lot of these cases where they find them like 12 miles from where they vanished. And people, they're like, as the crow flies 12 miles.
Oh, yeah.
Not to mention the crazy terrain. And they're like, how can this two-year-old travel 12 miles with no shoes in the cold? You know, within a, you know, they might find his body 18 hours later, he's covered 12 miles. There's a lot of cases like that where just they're like, that's almost physically impossible.
Without damage, without something that says like an animal.
Yeah, we don't. That could be a factor too.
That
could
be the animals pulling shoes off.
Or like a big ass eagle or some golden eagle swooping down.
That was that staircase documentary. I don't know if you saw that.
I haven't finished it.
Did we talk about this?
I don't think so. I was watching it a while back.
Spoil it for you? Or did I already tell you about it?
I know about that crate. I haven't got to that yet, but somebody spoiled that for me. The owl.
Yeah, so we could talk about
it.
Yeah,
talk about
it for a long
time. Yeah,
yeah. That this guy, his first wife died of mysterious circumstances. His second wife, couldn't figure out what happened. And you watch this thing, you're like, this guy fucking did it. Like, no, it was owls. They have such force, like clawed the back of her head, and she made it inside, and it looked like. Even the guy was like, I don't know, maybe she fell down the stairs. I was outside, and he couldn't tell what happened.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, there's no blood at the top of the stairs, but she's at the bottom of the staircase with this wound to the back of her head, and it was an owl.
Hmm.
Those things aren't fucking around. Hungry animals do not fuck around.
Yeah, owls are crazy.
Owls, eagles, people, you can't even hike with little dogs around here, but the eagles or falcons will snatch them up.
Mm-hmm.
So a kid... I mean, I don't know what the condition of the bodies are, but like grabbed and like flown for a little bit till a bird gets tired. But then you think it would eat some of it. If the kid's like, if it's a body that's in shape without damage to it, I don't know.
But yeah, so all these factors, Now, not every factor is pertinent to every case, but what I just described there, that's kind of a list of some common denominators that he's found, you know, near bodies of water, they're missing shoes, vanishing after 4 p.m. That's weird. So, and dude goes on.
Vanishing after 4 p.m. or people don't realize somebody's missing until after 4 p.m.
True.
Because people are like, oh, it's the daytime, we'll find him. And all of a sudden, no, he's really missing. When did he go missing? Oh, well.
Well, here's an interesting twist, too, is, and by the way, this David, some people call it, pronounce it Politis, whatever. He has had almost.
Whatever with this fucking guy was trying to support his claims.
He's had so much resistance from the officials at the national parks. When he started investigating this stuff, he would try. First thing he did was he asked somebody in corporate, I don't know, somebody higher up in the administration of the National Park Service. He's like, hey, I want to get a list. Can I get a list of all these cases of missing people? And the first thing they told him was like, yeah, we don't keep track of that. Why would you not keep track?
That's a little weird.
And he did some more research and discovered that they do keep track. They have a list of all the movies that have been filmed in national parks. But missing persons, nah, we don't keep track of that shit. So either they were lying to him about that, because logic tells you, of course they keep track of that, you would think.
Unless because – all right, well, now I don't know the jurisdiction of a national park ranger versus a police report. If somebody goes missing, who handles that? Is it the police department or is it the park service?
It depends on where they went missing from, the jurisdiction.
The park.
Yeah, so if it's from in the park, I don't think a local cops would handle any crime.
Cops are the park rangers.
Yeah, but I mean,
but they're not necessarily police officers.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I think that just falls under a jurisdiction thing. If somebody goes missing from a national park, then it's the National Park Service jurisdiction to investigate that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not like a county police or state trooper?
I don't think so. I don't think so. So.
So we're going on. Dave doesn't think so.
I've thought a lot about it, and I don't think so.
Nah, probs not.
No, but yeah, it just makes sense that okay, regardless of who, they would still have a record of it. Like, why would you not have a record of that?
That my reasoning being, no, because a different department handles this stuff.
Well, they didn't tell him that.
We know when bears break into cabins, because that's our jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. When human people go missing or there's a crime, is it park rangers or is it state troopers? That's
Well, I'm assuming he did some.
I'm in front of a computer.
I'm assuming he did some follow-up. If there was a file, let's say, you know, Johnny Q Public goes missing, and he goes missing from a state park, and then they tell him we don't keep a record of it. I'm sure he probably went to the next jurisdiction and be like, do y'all have a report of Johnny Q Public missing? And they're like, what are you talking about?
Who solves a murder in a national park? Here's this. That's a good question. If a murder occurs in one of the national parks, who investigates? The National Park Service Rangers, the Bureau of Interior Office of Law Enforcement. Jesus Christ. The FBI has primary jurisdiction over homicide investigations in national parks.
Homicide investigation, not missing person. Two different things.
All right. But it's still like a person crime, not an animal crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, animal crime.
As opposed to, you know, person crimes.
Went to school for animal law.
There is a documentary with the same name, Missing 411. I believe it's on Hulu right now, and I watched it.
I watched some of it.
It's good, not great. It's a little dry. My one complaint with this David Politis, he doesn't really – I've listened to a lot of his interviews. I've read a couple of the books, although the books are really just – they're not books per se. It's just basically a list of case files. I mean, there's not like a narrative to it. It's just
– yeah, that was like – you know. There's so much self DIY literature,
yeah,
that is real hard to take seriously.
Yeah,
we were getting sent a bunch of that stuff.
No,
it was getting stacks sent to us.
Yeah,
at one point, it's like, look, here's proof in a picture, and it's the most pixelated.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what? This is a crazy person.
But he himself doesn't really offer up too many opinions on his theories.
Yeah.
Now, other people who have read these books and looked into some of these cases have definitely offered up some theories. Here's just a few of them. Right off the top of my head, Bigfoot.
Hey, Dave went to Bigfoot right away.
I mean, most common, you know, most logical direction.
Okay, legitimately, you got somebody that got lost and maybe they're taking them back to their little berry patch.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe you like berries. Maybe they fed them berries and they didn't realize the berries are poisonous to people, but Bigfoot could eat the berries.
Aliens. I went camping last week with the intention of getting abducted by an alien.
I mean, that's why we both go into the woods. But alien, like, they're not doing anything with them. They're just moving them around.
Well, like I said.
The Hedberg joke about fishing, like catching them and throwing them back. Like, fish just think we're trying to make them late for something. You show up with a hole in your cheek like, yeah, guys, you aren't going to believe what just happened.
I always thought that the fish should communicate better and let everybody know, hey, those worms, don't get those worms.
Well, that was my joke.
Do you have a joke about that?
We keep catching fish.
Yeah.
And they got the whole ocean to get away.
Yeah. I just wish they would communicate.
It's like you got the whole ocean and you're still falling. Like, that's why fish are dumb and it's okay to eat fish.
That's
I don't
true.
Like eating smart animals. And then last night I had Italian food. I got squid. I forgot how good squid is. Never was a go-to as a kid. Today I'm like, now I'm like, you know what? Why am I being a chicken shit? I talk a big game about how you should try all the things, and I'm not trying to eat meat, but seafood's okay. Octopuses are the ones that are smart, right?
Yeah.
Squids? Nah. Delicious.
Man,
tastes like it's made out of food.
I saw some weird YouTube video the other day of some folks in Japan at a restaurant just eating live.
Yeah, where it sticks to your face in a way.
Yes.
I mean, I don't need that.
God damn. Take it easy.
I don't need that.
Just eating a live squid.
You ever do squid? You ever eat squid?
That's calamari, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I eat calamari.
But like just not deep fried. Not battered and fried. Just like straight up grilled.
I don't know.
It was rough for me to get around, but you know, I'm out with Rachel. Like, well, we're at a nice Italian place. Let's get it.
Hmm.
It was great.
Where'd y'all go?
Osteria Mama.
So a lot of those osterias around here.
Yeah, there's like three of them. Next one
is that the one on Melrose?
Yeah, there's like a family, and so they got mad, and so the one lady went and started her place, and so I went to her place because I'm thinking if you got mad at your family and went and started your own restaurant, you're really going to want to shake your finger at them.
Yeah.
So you're probably making it twice as good as the other people.
That's good logic.
You know, you're going to be like, "Fuck you! I'll have my own restaurant." I'm like, "I'm going to go to your restaurant." You're trying to tell them to cram it. So, yeah, squid.
Hmm.
The whole thing's food. There's no fucking around. Bones, none of this. The whole thing. Throw it on a grill. Eat it with some seasoning.
Hmm.
It's all consistent.
Yeah.
The chew, it's all consistent.
Now, were you eating pieces or were you eating those little, eating them whole?
No, pieces.
Sometimes like when you get calamari. Ones.
Yeah, you get a
there's
whole
There's the
one.
Rings, and then there's the whole ones.
That's what's confusing is, like, the rings, I guess, were the bigger ones, where it's like its head,
mm-hmm.
and they just chopped its head up, and its head is just rings.
Oh, really? The rings are the head?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like just...
Interesting.
It's almost like a closed... It's like a bulb.
Okay.
And they're chopping the bulb
yeah.
horizontally.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what's inside of it. I don't know where that went. Fucking dumb old squid. Got no brain. I'll eat you. I'll eat you, dumb brainless squids. But yeah, those fish, like, fish are dumb because we still catch them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was cute because I'd be like, how could you be in a school all day and be so stupid? That was adorable. That was a cute joke. Fucking Kyle Kinane's got cute jokes.
What special was that? Were you? Kakanen can do cute jokes. You
I did fucking sure can.
Did a wordplay joke. Which one
yeah,
was that?
I got something in there for everybody. It's not wordplay. All like truth bombs. Then let me tell you how the world works. Sometimes you get a little sweet treat out of the kid.
All right. So who's taking these bastards? Is it Bigfoot? Is it aliens? Is it a serial killer? Is it, I don't know, this is complete hearsay. but I think maybe somewhere I read.
Oh, we got some hearsay on the podcast finally.
I think.
Some unconfirmed facts.
Somewhere I think I read that a lot of these dumps, these deep underground military bases, are stationed near national parks.
That's a more...
Somebody grabbing these bastards and take them down to the dump.
But what... Like, why are you just taking people from a camping trip that are going to be like, oh, my kid's missing? What if you truly needed human experiment kids, you would just pull that shit they were doing. What was the Omaha kitty ring thing that was going on?
Yeah.
You know? I forget the name of that one.
That bank. There was some bank.
Some kid disappeared in Omaha, and he came back to his mom years later, like, I remember you. And then, like, a van followed him. Like, there was that whole, and they thought there was, like, a pedophile ring. They were selling them to politicians. Like, why wouldn't you just take street kids or runaways or things where they're not looking for them as opposed to, oh, in 20 minutes somebody's going to know that this kid's missing.
Yeah, but if you're taking them somewhere where they just ain't going to be found, whether it be up in a UFO or down in an underground military base, then who gives a shit if they know he's missing? They ain't going to find him.
But then you're just bringing suspicion. If it's human-based, you're bringing suspicion back to, hey, oh, there's our secret base. By the way, you're really shitting where you eat, is what I'm saying. You know? If you're a drug dealer, don't smoke a joint in front of your own house.
Oh, man. That reminds me of this. One of the best jokes I've ever heard. I wish I could remember whose it was to give him credit. I'll paraphrase. I forgot who it was. So my buddy got fired from his job because he was banging the bartender, and his boss said, hey, you can't do that. I can't shit where you eat. And he goes, shit where I eat? I'm just trying to fuck where I steal.
I thought that was an Andy Sanford joke.
No, it sounds like an Andy Sanford joke. I don't think it is.
Fuck where I steal.
Shit where I eat? I'm trying to fuck where I steal. I always thought that was a weird phrase, shit where I eat. Ugh.
I mean, it just gets to the point.
Are you shitting in the kitchen? Is that what that means? Because I got no problem with that.
I think it's more of a nature-based thing. Okay. Hey, look at that bush full of berries. Don't take a dump in it.
I pee where I eat.
Well, I'm glad you're still tickled by these observations, Dave, because everybody else is getting worried for you.
I'm all right. What do I care?
Oh, come on, buddy. You're going to be all right. You'll be okay.
So, what's happened to these people?
What do we got? I think it's you got a large open space and somebody's trying to make sense. I mean, serial killer. I would say serial killer because that's my – like, yeah. You got no witnesses. You got no cameras. You could just snatch somebody like a fairy tale, straggling kid in the hike. Snatch him away. Nobody's going to know. You know how to hide in the woods. This is a Cub Scout troop going out there. Mm-hmm. They don't know what's up from down. But you know how to hide in the woods. I'm still fascinated with the Northwoods Hermit, the guy who just lived in New Hampshire for 30 years. Not far off a hiking trail and just knew how to stay out of people's way.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about that's one guy that got caught, how many people are doing it? I'll go up in the woods here. I'll go up into Angeles Forest, and you see cars and just like, oh, you just been up here. Mm-hmm. If you got to come down the hill to get some supplies, you do, but you're off the grid. You're just up there maybe walking around all day, maybe sleeping in the woods. You know where the coyote dens are and this and that and how to stay out of trouble. If it's raining, you go sit in your car. Nobody's towing. Nobody's doing shit up there.
Well, here's a detail I haven't mentioned yet. In many of these cases, there's a lot of these cases where multiple people will be together, let's say on a hike, three, four, five people together on a hike, and within spitting distance of each other. You know, if we're going to go on a hike together, we're not going to walk arm in arm, but we're also, you might be 10 yards away, 20 yards away. We can all see each other.
Fast ones or slow ones.
Many of these cases involve multiple people on a hike, and then they turn around, and Kyle's back there, and then we walk a couple more seconds, and I turn around, and Kyle's gone.
Yeah.
Just vanish into thin air.
And if you're a creep who knows how to operate in the woods. Also, when you're talking about these things, you're asking somebody who has now gone through a trauma and has been sitting around retracing their steps. Where could they go? This and that. How long? Well, it was just a second. It was just a second. They don't know because they're not actively trying to keep detailed information about that moment. It's only after the fact that, oh, now I have to try and access my memory of this, something that I wasn't trying to keep a memory of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why you hear about stories about people being coaxed into confessing crimes that they didn't commit. Like, well, if you didn't do it, why would you do it? People can scare you and people can manipulate you to think things that you don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
I know it just from doing comedy. You tell a joke over and over again and you exaggerate. It's the same thing about not remember, but you exaggerate a story enough to you're like, yeah, those are the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know how far away from the truth you are.
Oh, absolutely.
You've been replaying events over and over and over again to find your missing kid. You know, you don't – a minute and a half could have been – it was 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you're in the woods, and you're out in the woods to be distracted and to look at nature and see things, especially got other kids walking around.
Yeah.
It wasn't 10 seconds. It was a minute and a half, and somebody who knows how to snatch him up, cool. He just checked on him. Now he's paying attention to the other kid. Boom, gone, into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
A whole forest to disappear in.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I'm not saying that's for sure the solution, but I think it's perverts and murderers.
Maybe it's because I'm an adult now and it's not really a threat for me. But man, when I was a kid, I don't know if it was just more prevalent back then. But do you remember, like, growing up, like in the 80s, and a lot of it started with John Walsh, the America's Most Wanted guy,
whose kid got abducted and decapitated.
But, like, there was just such an awareness. I don't know if my family or whatever, but, like, there was just such a constant awareness of, like, look out for kidnappers. You know, just don't get kidnapped.
Yeah.
You know, just kids disappearing left and right.
Being at a mall. Mm-hmm. Same concept now, but it's because there's so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And, boom, you just blend into it.
I got lost for about 45 minutes, apparently, when I was, like, 3 or 4. At a Richway. I don't know if they have those anymore. It was kind of like a Target before there was a Target in Marietta, Georgia. I was at a Richway department store, and apparently I just vanished for like my dad and mom were freaking the shit out for like 45 minutes.
Did you have to tell? I've had it where I remember my sister and I having to go like let them do the announcement.
Oh, really? No, I don't really even remember much about it, but that was just a story I always heard. It was like, you scared the shit out of us. Like, apparently I was gone for 45 minutes, and my dad's just running all over the store, just losing his fucking mind.
Because then, you start thinking worst-case scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, when we were kids, this has nothing to do with it, but I just remember like a rack that'd be like circular racks of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
My mom would never let us, if we're kids, like, she wouldn't let us use a dressing room.
Hmm.
It's like, you don't need to use that. Just go in the circular rack of clothes.
Interesting.
Just to change in the circular rack of clothes. Well, some other lady's shopping for pants for her kids, and she's just flipping through, and all of a sudden there's a fucking naked kid in the middle of the rack.
Oh, what a funny visual.
Dumb
little Kyle putting on some elastic waist jeans.
Just in my underoos, scared shitless, because the worst thing I can imagine is happening is strangers just seeing me with no pants on, in spite of being surrounded by pants.
Oh, man. That's funny, dude.
Yeah. Well, don't get kidnapped, but here's a sweet piece of candy hiding in the pants rack, already half undressed for you. This one's already unwrapped. Thanks, Deb.
I got lost.
She listens. She knows I'm joking.
I got lost in the woods one time when I was about 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was deep into the woods. When I was 12, my family, we moved up to the hills of North Georgia. And while the process of like shopping for that piece of land or that home or whatever, we would go up there and look at it quite often. And just – I think it was like 11 – and just one day I just wandered off and I was gone for like an hour. And in 11, I remember that vividly as opposed to the other story. But like, and I remember just being like, what the shit, man?
Yeah.
I have no idea where I'm at. And like, I was hollering, ah, good. And I could hear them, but I wasn't, for some reason, I just didn't have enough wherewithal to follow the sound. I just kept getting lost and lost, and I was just deep in the woods.
It's so easy to get lost. Mm-hmm. If you just go on hikes and you realize walking back, like, I'm on the trail, but it doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
Because nothing looks the same going one direction as it does the other direction. It's not created by... It's not a human-made creation like a street where, like, oh, yeah, it's just that store, but it's on the other side now.
Yeah.
It's all trees. It all looks the same. The light changes. The shadows, like, just the light alone changing changes the perception of everything.
Yeah.
I remember doing that, or walking, like, and that's why you see the little cairns.
The what?
Cairns. C-A-I-R-N-E-S. What's that? Little stacks of rocks people make.
Oh, right, right.
And you think, oh, it's always a fun thing. It's like, no, they're trail markers. They're there. To be like, oh, I remember this one. I remember these rocks here.
Yeah.
We took a left at. So when you're coming back, you're like, okay, there's that cairn again.
Mm-hmm.
This means we're on the right path. I remember backpacking in Sequoia. I've really just done backpacking in Sequoia, but going out and then trying to come back at night and realizing, like, nope, you're camping now. If you try to hike now with the light going away, like, you're going to get lost. Set up camp where you still have light. That's why you have all this stuff with you.
Yeah.
But even just, I've had bike rides where I'm like, shit, man, I don't know where I'm at. I did that years ago when I first started mountain biking. The sun went down and we're like, yeah, we're fucked. I mean, we're on a trail, but it's a trail network. You have no idea if you're getting further away from where you're supposed to be. But this was before everybody had a phone with lights on it. And so we just had, I think I had a digital camera, so we had to, like, take pictures of the sign and then look at the picture. I always thought that was a good technique for a horror movie. So we had to, like, take a picture. You know, it'd take a few seconds for it to show up on the screen just so we could see what the sign said.
Yeah.
But, like, what if that's what you did and that's how you saw, like, a monster or something?
Ooh.
But by the time you got to see the picture, it already had 3 seconds to move closer to you.
Ooh, yeah.
I remember, like, that was a good one.
It's pretty good.
That was the same trail I was at today.
Huh.
But, yeah, it's so easy to get disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to get lost. A lot of these cases, they're not saying they've been eaten or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them. But just, yeah, missing in a large open place that people go to for vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Unprepared.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not shocked by it. Being 12 miles away as a kid, I remember reading those ones about, like, all right, that, yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah, that's real weird.
Maybe you had a real athletic kid. You had no idea.
This little tough mutter.
Yeah. If autism doesn't mean you can't hike like a son of a bitch, you know?
Well, I think, myself included, we're trying to put one resolution to all these cases, and the fact is, it's probably a little bit of everything. I think some of these people were eaten by Bigfoot. I truly think some of them were abducted by aliens, and I think some were just got lost and died.
A nice mix,
mm-hmm.
you know, out in the national parks.
Yeah.
Remember to enjoy your national parks while you still have them, folks. Because if you want to die in a weird way, no better place than your national parks. You could fall off a stone arch. Why settle for getting stabbed in an alley in the city you live in when you can get out, breathe some fresh air, and have an eagle eat your face?
That's how I want to go.
In front of a giant redwood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that concludes this week's... What do you got? What's going on, Dave? You got recipes you want to tell anybody? You want to inform them?
I mean, I've talked about deviled eggs before, but since I brought you some deviled eggs today, I'll tell how I made these.
You tell them. I'm going to eat one right now. Put my dirty hands
on. Hard boil some eggs.
Nothing. Deviled eggs. Hard boiled eggs are the worst thing. Like, you just hold one once, and it looks like somebody dusted for prints on it.
Yeah, yeah. They're and they don't smell good, but that's
keep
just
selling, baby.
That's the price of doing business. But what I did with these is I boiled them up, cut them in half. You remove the yolks, throw that shit in a bowl, and take the whites and soak them in some pickled beet juice. You can buy jars of pickled beets. I just got 2 or 3 jars. And if you don't have enough liquid to submerge them, if you don't have enough beet juice, you can throw in some white vinegar. And just submerge them for at least 8 hours or overnight. And with the yolks, I threw in the yolks. I threw in a little mayonnaise. I threw in a little spicy mustard. I threw in some sriracha. I put some smoked paprika.
They're pungent.
Yeah, they are. But they're tasty. Like I said, I diced up some spicy pickles.
Oh,
and
shit.
Deviled eggs are fun because, like, it's really just – it's jazz. You can just kind of free form it, man.
Oh.
Just improvise. And whatever flavor you're going for.
I'm gonna be farting like Dizzy Gillespie after these.
Yeah. What do you think?
They're great.
You like them?
Yeah.
They got a kick to them.
I like the spiciness.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good move. The pickles in with the yolks.
Yeah.
Was a real, real good move.
Yeah.
I love a spicy one. These are great.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm pretty proud of those. They're pretty good. And they're fun. They're festive colors, too. They look fun. So, yeah, just have some fun.
Oh,
with
look
them.
Who's come around to festive colors on eggs all of a sudden.
Well, of course I like hard-boiled eggs. I just, my point with that, and I've gotten a lot of shit on Twitter.
Because you're wrong.
My point
is what you do with Easter eggs.
A dumb little kid going around hunting eggs. He wants some fucking candy. He doesn't want a goddamn hard-boiled egg. That's my point.
All right. But maybe there was a time before Cadbury came in and turned the thing all about sweets that was just about Jesus and eggs. And maybe I gotta save some of these. I'll eat the whole thing.
Yeah, those are good. But yeah, so there's your recipe: pickled deviled eggs. Pickle the eggs, devil the yolks, and just have some fucking fun.
Don't devil your yolk.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Patreon.com/boogiemonster, $4 a month. You get those Q&A episodes that just dropped yesterday, if you're listening to this. Sorry, a couple days late on that.
Oh.
And Dave's Kitchen coming up in a few weeks. So you get the Dave's Kitchen and the Q&A every month, $4 a month. That's a pretty good deal.
Hey.
What you got to plug there, buddy?
Nothing.
Nothing? You in town for a little while? A
couple more days. UConn. Be in the fucking UConn.
Yeah.
It's Saturday night. Anybody out there?
Get some free time. Just wander off into the UConn and see what happens.
I've got no free time. Going there, doing a show, coming back.
Boom, boom. In and out.
Yeah.
Like a serial killer.
Real quick gig.
I like
up
it.
Up in the UConn.
Where are you flying into?
UConn.
Yeah? Take me to the UConn.
White Horse. Where they just that's the part of the world where they just name things after what they saw the first time.
Yeah, there's Red Deer.
Yeah,
Red Deer is up there.
Smooth Rock, Cold River. No need for any fancy shit.
That's
call it
funny.
As I see it.
That's funny.
All right, yeah, I'll be at that UConn Comedy Festival. UConn Fine Tickets. Online.
Watch out.
I wish I had a website ready, but boy, I'm sure they have never heard those jokes. Can't wait to disappoint them with that. What do you got, Dave? You got any shows in town?
No. None worth talking about.
Everything's going great.
Yeah. All yeah. Right. Things are good.
Dave's life is excellent. And all right. Well, that's what we did.
Yeah. All right. Holla at you boys.
The Boogie Monster. We'll be right back.
Bye.